everybody. I'm Chad Eckert. That's Joe Idoni. This is the Preferred Lives podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Preferred Lives. Joe, golf is back, baby.
Let's crack beers.
Cheers.
Golf is back. Oh.
Well, they got odds at least out, so that gives us something to do.
It gives us something to talk about.
We're going to do this podcast each Monday night. Now, the tournament doesn't start till a week from Thursday, so we'll probably come back to you next Monday, but this is the First Impression Pod. We're just so excited to get a podcast out to you people, so we decided to record one on this Monday, June 1st, in the midst of turmoil across America.
Yeah, let's hope that June is a little better than April and May, so cheers to that.
Our goal here on the pod, the Preferred Lines pod, each week, I think the best bet, since we're hashtag not experts, is to pretty much bring on a maybe hashtag expert or someone that knows more about things than we do, Joe.
Yeah, that's a great idea. You know, it's always good to have someone on here that knows what they're talking about. So without further ado, go ahead and introduce our first star-studded guest.
Joe. Let's be honest here. No one's volunteering to talk to you and I yet. Pretty much had to beg this first guest. And this guest, I'm shocked, is an awesome guest. Ben Coley, the Sporting Life, has decided to take time out of his busy evening to hang out with us. Welcome, Ben. Thanks for being here.
Hi, Jensen. No, it's good to be on. Thank you for having me.
Joe and I wanted to say we're excited. We got this PGA Tour back. We got this new podcast. We're pretending like we know what we're doing. What are you doing? Where are you?
I'm in the north of England, sort of hunkering down like everybody else at the moment. Our son's back at nursery tomorrow, so things are beginning to return to normal. I'm actually playing golf on Thursday for the first time in a heck of a long time. But we're good. You know, I think my family and I have been very lucky over the last couple of months. I'm very much looking forward now to the golf coming back.
Right on, dude. So like we said at the top here, we're going to try to do questions with an expert. You're the one. You've said yes to this. So thank you for being here. I'm going to start the timer, Joe. We're going to got a 9 minutes. That's a front nine here. We're trying to do.
You got it. All right, Ben, you ready to go?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay, great. First easy one right out the gate. Tell us who you are and how long you've been tipping golf.
Yeah, 10 years now. So I work for Sporting Life, a UK betting website. I've been doing it for 10 years. I got into it through a colleague called Dave Tindall. I think a lot of your listeners will know him. He gave me a chance and I one way or another, I took it. First winner was Bubba Watson back in 2010 at the Travelers. I think he beat Corey Pavin in a playoff, so times have changed since then.
You have an accent, you're overseas, but do you spend a lot of time watching the PGA?
Yeah, as much as I can, yeah. I would say, I don't know, 10, 12 hours every week. Obviously now the coverage has changed and we can get the feature groups over here as well. So I watch those throughout Thursday, Friday, and then probably a little bit less on Saturday, but then full coverage on Sunday, as much as I can anyway, as a parent of a young kid.
So then now we're back into it. We've had a couple months off. That's a little weird and different and not normal. So what are you going to look for? What's your criteria for capping Colonial?
It's going to be really hard, but I would say the one thing that sort of makes me less concerned about it is that we are at Colonial, and after that Harbortown, I think those two courses lend themselves to a different style of golf than that which tends to populate the top of the world rankings. And I think asking Rory McIlroy to come back at these courses and bring his A game and be as effective as he would have been, say, at Riviera, is going to be difficult. So I think the main message from me will be to be speculative and to look for players who aren't perhaps as fashionable as the best players in the world.
I think speculative is a good term. So I've got a little take that I'm kind of squatting on as we resume here. I feel like some of the younger guys may come out of the gates a little bit hotter. They were able to sort of fine tune and practice a little bit more versus some of the older guys with families and young kids at home may have been a little more cautious in their approach to getting back. Any of these young crew of guys that you're looking for to come out of the gates hot? And what are your thoughts on that?
It'll be interesting to see if that plays out. It's a good example of how we're all having to think a little differently and apply some theories that we would never usually consider. I actually usually like backing new dads. I think the nappy factor is a fairly interesting way to assess golfers. You often find that they improve for being a parent because life takes on a new meaning and golf shops don't matter as much anymore. Having said that, there'll be a lot of guys who are new dads who are probably having a little bit too much of the realities of parenthood over the last couple of months. So it might be a little bit different, but you know, in terms of the younger guys, ordinarily I totally agree with you. The one thing against them is that Colonial is an older guy's track. So it's going to be really interesting to see how that that imbalance plays out.
Ben, have you had a chance to look at the Colonial board yet? It just came out.
Yeah, I had a look today. They're 4 or 5 bookmakers over here who've priced it up already. So it's a lot earlier than usual.
Where'd your gut lead you immediately when opening that up? Where are you going to look right away?
I'll give you 2 answers to that. One was that the first name I looked for was Scottie Scheffler. I think a lot of people will be looking for him because we have that form from the Marido Invitationals that he played in, and he played great. But I don't think it's worth a lot. I don't underestimate his potential and the fact that he's playing at home here and all those things. But he's the same odds as like Colin Morikawa over here, who I think is a fundamentally slightly better golfer. Not much, but enough. So he was the first one I thought, well, he won't be on my list. The one who stood out at a bigger price, first of all, was Ian Poulter. He's 125-1 here, and you know, I think he's 43, 44. That's not really a problem at Colonial. He's got a couple of top tens of the course. He's got loads of things to play for. Like, he's 58 in the world, so he's got work to do there. He's got this is the last chance to play a Ryder Cup in the States if it happens this year. And he was playing well before the lockdown. So yeah, I thought he stood out a little bit.
Okay, here's one guy that kind of stood out to me a little bit. A fellow Englishman. You know, this time last year, the beginning of February 2019, the number one ranked player in the world. He's a former champion here, Justin Rose. They're hanging a 40 on him over here on this side. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, it's interesting. Again, he's next to Scheffler, which just doesn't add up, really. I mean, it's not like he's just Justin Rose. Like you said, he won it here a couple of years ago. Obviously, the club switch is going to be an interesting thing that we all follow. Like, now he can put whatever he likes in the bag. I'm assuming he'll go back to something pretty familiar with TaylorMade. The risk for me is that we overvalue that, and that actually there are now some embedded problems that the clubs have exacerbated, if you like. So I think I'll keep an eye on him without expecting a great deal. And the other thing, I think, you know, he's probably been putting better than he's capable of, if that makes any sense, for 2 or 3 years now. And maybe he's peaked. I know it's an unpopular thing to say of a player like Justin Rose, but maybe he has peaked. And in that case, he might be 40-12 for a little while.
Did Jordan Spieth peak a couple of years ago and his career is over? What are you going to do with Jordan Spieth now he's back in Texas, 50-1?
I really hope he hasn't peaked. I'm a huge Jordan Spieth fan. And I'm also, I guess you'd call me a Jordan Spieth apologist. I think he'll be back. I think he'll be back towards the top of the game. I think he'll win more majors. Although that faith has been questioned a lot over the last year to 18 months. He's kind of the sort of price I expected. I think bookmakers with Jordan Spieth are more inclined to be a little bit defensive because there's nothing to be gained in saying, okay, you can have 80-1, right? They're going to take bets. They're going to run up a liability, and it's Jordan Spieth. He could make them look very silly. So he's not really moved. I think he's hit almost like a maximum. Unless he gets worse, he's not going to get a lot bigger in the odds. He's not going to be 100-1. That being said, if you're going to back him anywhere, then why not Colonial, you know, after a break when he may have figured out his game. So I wouldn't put anybody off Jordan Spieth. I'd much rather back him than Justin Rose.
Interesting. Okay. Ben, I know you're a long shot guy like myself. When looking down range, I know you mentioned Poulter, but anyone else really stick out to you right off the jump in that 100-1 plus deep range here?
I have to make my excuses here because obviously we're talking a little bit ahead of the tournament, and I will probably change my mind a number of times. But right now,
sure.
Any number of players, but the one who probably stood out above the rest would be Siwoo Kim. He's 250-1 here. He's the sort of player who, like, he should always be considered because, you know, he won the Players as he did and the Wyndham before that, and, you know, he's only 23, 24. He still has a huge future if he can get his fitness sorted out. And clearly, when he gets a chance to win, he pretty much sticks around. So all that is worth something. Then you've got the 65 he shot in the first round at Sawgrass, which has kind of been wiped from the boards now, but it did happen. And although that's only one little nugget, if you look back when he won at Sawgrass, the week before in Texas, he'd shown something out of nowhere. So although the gap is not ideal, maybe he's fit again. Maybe he's built on it. Maybe he's had time to rest the back and the neck and all that.
What about your thoughts on someone else getting their fitness on? Bryson has been bulking up. Is that going to help him or hurt him coming back?
He's easy to laugh at, isn't he, Bryson? I think partly because he's not very good at laughing at himself. I have huge respect for him as a player and as someone who wants to push the boundaries and be as good as he can be. There have been players like him throughout history. They're just a little bit, they're all wired separately. And a great example is Padraig Harrington, right? Here we are, 2020. He's the Ryder Cup captain this September, and still he is determined to try and be as good as he can be. And I think that's a very similar mindset for Bryson. And I think it might have similar results. He might go on to win major championships. And the one thing I'd say about the driving, you know, people laughed at his putting and he experimented with the side saddle nonsense and everything else, but he worked it out in the end. And the driving, he's worked it out very, very quickly. He's one of the best drivers in the world now.
Well, we might have to get you out of here because we're trying to do this
couple
quickly.
Of guys, we out of time?
No, but I'm just saying, you know, we got the guy on. We got to ask him some more stuff. We can't just cut him off right away.
All right, Ben. So I have a question regarding some of the new challenges for some of the European Tour players. I know Matt Fitzpatrick, I watched him on the Golf Channel touch base on, you know, what he's had to go through and coming over 2 weeks early to play in this event. A couple of other guys, Englishmen in the field, Rose, Willett, Wallace at Colonial. Have they all been over here quarantining as well, to your knowledge? And do you feel like that's going to impact their fall, summer schedule, that they just stay over here?
I think all of them will probably stay there. I have to admit, I don't know the exact details of their quarantines and stuff. I guess Rosie's been in the Bahamas enjoying life there. But look, as you saw, Fitzpatrick's got a house he's renting for 5 months. And I think that'll be fairly common among these Europeans you see there. I think Shane Lowry's another. And you notice there are quite a lot of them are the guys who are really on the fringes of Ryder Cup, and they can't really afford to do what Tommy Fleetwood's doing and say, you know, that's not for me.
Well, so are they going to play a Ryder Cup in 2020? What's your thoughts on that? Would they do it with no fans? Is that silly?
I think of all the events in the sport where it would be silly is the Ryder Cup, but I have to say there's a quote, and I wish I could tell you who said it and what exactly they said, but in a crisis, you deal with what's in front of you and you don't deal with what might be. And as the situation is today, there's no guarantee a Ryder Cup can take place next September in the format that it did in Paris. So if it were me, I'd carry on.
Right. Here's an interesting question. And I actually saw your article on the resuming of the European Tour and their schedule that they put out. So the British Masters is where it kind of all kicks off, which is really like 2 weeks away from that PGA Championship there. If these quarantining and rules are still in place, how does that affect the field there? And are these guys like Tommy and Lee Westwood, are they going to be able to make it back over in time to compete for the PGA Championship?
As things stand, they wouldn't. But I think part of the planning there is to hope that things will have changed sufficiently to be able to play both. If you notice, the British Masters begins on a Wednesday. I don't think that's a coincidence. I think they're probably just hoping that there will be enough time, therefore, to get into the US and do what you have to do. So fingers crossed for all of them. What I would say, though, is there will be players this year who are eligible for the PGA who don't play in it. I think that's almost a guarantee, whether they be Europeans or players from further afield. And look, without being disrespectful to the tournament, a player like Tommy Fleetwood, if he has to, he can miss one PGA Championship. Whether he can miss one Masters is a different question.
All right, Ben, we'll appreciate your time, buddy. You got to get back to bedtime. It's 7 hours later than we are, so we got toddler's duty later.
Yeah, my wife's performing heroics again, but I will go and lend my assistance. But it's all good fun, you know. Juggling is part of parenthood, isn't it? And I wouldn't have it all otherwise.
We're amateur hour. That's what it is. It's fine. And you aren't, though. You are a real writer for The Sporting Life.
That's correct, yeah.
Ben Coley Golf on Twitter. Follow him there. Read his article every week. We know we do. That's kind of where we get some of our basis. So thank you for all that you do. Thank you for appearing on this podcast. He will appear on your podcast. If he appears on this, he'll appear on anybody's podcast.
thanks, James. It was fun talking to you. So I'm sorry I don't do brevity very well, but I tried.
Whatever, dude. Thanks, we're happy to have you.
We'll talk soon. Thank you, Ben.
Look after yourselves. Cheers, James.
All right. There he is. There he was. The man himself, Ben Coley. How great is that, Joe? We actually got a real person to come on our first podcast. We don't even have anything. We're not even credible at all whatsoever.
Yeah, so he's a pretty cool dude, right? So I noticed in his bio on his Twitter handle, it said, "We'll come on your podcast." So we threw a line out there. He bit, I think, not knowing who we were. Hopefully we don't scare him away. Maybe we can get him back on some other time.
Very cool. Honestly, like that's, and he had great advice. So this is the remainder of the podcast. We are going to try to do this each week. We're going to have the front nine, which is going to be a consistent 9 minutes of a guest. Typically, we're going to try to pepper them with questions and get as many answers as we can out of them. And then we're going to switch. After they get kicked off, Joe and I are going to go to the betting board. We're going to look at the top, the middle, the bottom. We're going to give our preferred plays. But there's going to be more to this, Joe. You're going to be rewarded for watching, listening, and paying attention, following on Twitter.
Yeah, we sent our little thing earlier. So we got, I don't know if you can see behind me here, I hung up one of the sweet preferred lines golf towels we had made up. End of the show, stick around. We are going to choose a couple of followers to give them out to. We're going to try to come up with cool little ideas, whether it's towels or balls or something, just to keep you guys involved and engaged, and as a thank you for following along and listening to us two idiots talk about golf.
Yeah. Most weeks at the end of the podcast, we won't be doing giveaways, sometimes we will, but we'll be doing questions and answers. So if you do have any questions, or if you do want, hey, I think this guy over this guy, what do you think? Or if you have any sort of, I want to go 250-1 shot, who's the best guy on the board, give us some ideas for content. We'll appreciate that. And then we'll reward you by putting you into a drawing, potentially monthly, weekly, whatever we decide, if we get, some sort of response. Now, do you have a lot of towels, Joe? Like, can I give away a bunch of towels? Because we're trying to give away two later today and then maybe one next week. Because we have how many? We have a lot.
Yeah, for sure. We got a little stockpile going. I can always get more of them too. So they're not running out anytime soon. But like you said, we encourage anyone who has questions or something like that to reach out. We're not just going to sit here and shell out our betting cards and picks. The idea is to just kind of have an open discussion and go through the odds board, just like any two fans of the game of golf would do, and let you guys kind of eavesdrop in on that. So, we want to involve you as much as possible. If you have questions, whether it be about golf, life, anything, shoot them at the Twitter handle and we will be able to answer it on the show.
Yeah. We're making this stuff up as we go along, as we did on the Fantasy Golf Pod, as he did when he did Lunch Drive Long Shots. Like, we're just making this stuff up as we go along. So what we're going to do is we're going to go to the tippity tip top of the board. We have a board and the board is stacked. Look at this thing.
It floated.
Following along with us, we've got odds from a sports book. We're just going to name the generic odds of 7-1 for Rory McIlroy right here at the top of the board. But you know what? They change. By the time you listen to this, it might have changed. You got a different bookie, whatever else. We're just going to go with like a general number. Don't get hung up on that, please. Now, the top of the board, Rory McIlroy, 7-1. Rahm right behind him, 12-1. JT, 16. Bryson, 18. Webb, 22. DJ, 25. Brooks Koepka, 28. And then you got Patrick Reed, Ricky Fowler, also 28. Xander, also 28. Sungjae, 28. Oh, my God. This is insane. I golf is back, baby. This is a real board. This is
amazing. Yeah, I'm fired up, man. They loaded up that 28-1 range. Like you said, these lines may not be the same as you're seeing. They may differ by a couple numbers. I can promise you Rory's going to be sitting at the top. He's going to be followed by John Rahm on pretty much every book universally. So that's not going to change. I know you like to fade the top price guy. I'm sort of in it for the big ticket. We're not really interested in the top of the board there.
Now, again, you can make arguments at the top of the board for any of these people every week, every time, all day. It's just about your gut. It's about who you want at the top of the board. It's about how you feel they're playing or they're coming in. Or if you can get 16 and that feels better than 14, then maybe you'll go with the 16 and it doesn't even matter the name on it. I think JT 16-1 feels wrong. I don't know. Probably could be right closer to 12, 10. I don't know. So yeah, if I'm going to do anything, man, JT.
Here's a question I got for you. It kind of stuck out to me. Now, look, I know throughout this quarantine, people have been hyping up the bulked up Bryson DeChambeau. People have been tuned into his Twitch stream and his workouts and his ball speed. But 18-1 on Bryson 18? In this field, when you got major champions and guys who have won, have been around and been legitimate top 10 players on the PGA Tour and official world golf rankings for some time, 10 points below him. What are your thoughts there? Bryson 18-1?
Well, I think that the bookmakers are clearly seeing his streams and watching the public reaction to what he's been doing. And so they know that people want to bet him. They know that people want to back him. They think it's fun. He's clearly improved the driving distance. Is now is Colonial, of course, where that matters. I don't think it is as important.
I don't think so either. A lot of people consider it kind of like an old man's course, so to speak, for lack of a better term. You know, I think he's played a bunch and missed like 3 out of 4 or 4 out of 5 cuts here. Okay. Look, 18-1 Bryson in this kind of field, not for me, man. I'm out.
When you go above 30-1, do you consider that the middle of the board, probably more or less?
Yeah, usually I would say 25-30 range to anywhere in the 60s is generally the middle of the board. 17 or 16 of the top 20 players in the world at the Charles Schwab.
Dude, I think that's the way it's going to be. That's going to be the trend all season because they're going to try to get it in. They're going to try to get the points. And also, they're going to think in the back of the head, I might get the virus one and I can't play. And then I can't get money and I can't get points. So I'm going to go all out and I'm going to care and I'm going to play as many as I can. Or they're going to cancel the whole thing altogether. And then they're going to have played these rounds to get their money and get their points for the Ryder Cup. I don't know how this is going to work. They don't know how this is going to work.
Absolutely.
It's going to be a stacked field every week.
Absolutely. I totally agree. It's like they, I feel like it's going on in their heads that they may play a month of golf here and it may spike again, or there may be a few cases on tour and they shut it back down. So these guys are going to get out there. They're going to play. They're going to try and earn their money while they can. Can't blame them.
No. Okay. If you go into the middle of the range here, you have names like the juicy names are still continue and it's great. It's no outlaw where you can't, you don't even know any of these people in the middle of the ranges. There is names I like. Runner up last year at 35-1 right here, Tony Finau on a bent grass course. I'm thinking Tony Finau maybe coming off decent winter season. I don't know what do you even call it, what he did in February.
Look, it's hard. Like, it's kind of going to be a shit show in terms of trying to forecast this thing for a couple weeks here. I think I've heard a lot of guys, you know, going to say that they're going to sort of stick to the game theory of if a guy plays really well 1 or 2 days, or he doesn't play really well 1 or 2 days, to kind of look for that to flip quickly, because there's going to be a little bit of a lack of consistency. I'm just not a big Finau better in general. I was there about a year and a half ago. I waited around for the win. It didn't happen. I kind of feel a little bit like there's sort of this, I don't want to say the word clutch gene, but there's a certain ability for players to close when the pressure is on a Sunday afternoon when it matters. And he just hasn't shown it. One of the names that really sticks out to me that I was really looking toward at this event was Scottie Scheffler. Victor Hovland as well. But, you know, at 40-1, it's a steep price to pay on Scottie Scheffler, who hasn't won a PGA Tour event. When you've got a guy next to him at 40-1, who was the 2018 champion here, 15 months ago, he was number one player in the world. He's back to his TaylorMade clubs, I believe. Justin Rose, man, what do you think?
Well, Coley said he'd prefer Spieth over Rose. Could you believe that?
I it was kind of a shock to see. I know that Coley, if you've been following for long enough, is a Spieth truther, like our boy Rouslin a little bit. But, you know, still, I think that I'm not a Justin Rose guy. But that 40-1 number does pose some potential value there.
Well, it depends on, you know, how it goes. Like, again, we're going to know more in a week from now when people are showing up and there's reports on things. You have to consider things that are random when there's no golf for 3 months. You got to consider course history. Sure, Spieth, by far the most strokes gained total at this course over the last 5 years. The dude's total strokes gained, almost 52 strokes in 5 years. Amazing.
Right. One guy in this range who I kind of have circled, I haven't done anything with it yet, but Brant Snedeker at 66-1. Decent course history here. Like I say, he kind of plays to that old man course narrative. He reminds me in many ways of last year's champion, Kevin Na, where he could just get a red hot putter and make everything right from 10 to 20 feet. You know, I try to keep up with these guys' social media accounts somewhat just to keep tabs on if they're playing, what they're sort of up to. I know he's been playing a ton of golf with his two sons. I saw he made the hole in one with the noodle. I had some controversy there as well with one of my buddies. But good to see Brant playing. Wouldn't shock me at this number if he came through and had a decent couple days of golf right out of the gate here.
Well, and then it goes back to you go with a guy that's got recharged with his family. He's a family man. He's a veteran that's coming back that has had a break. It does take a toll on you, all this golf, all this time. Maybe it does help, and it's better to have a break for these older guys. Then you have the narrative that you spoke about with Coley, where you're talking about a younger guy that has no responsibility, that's firing at all cylinders already, young and doing things on the tour. Neiman right here, 66-1.
These guys, like I kind of touched base on there in the thing with Coley, Neiman, Hovland, Scheffler, these young guys in their young 20s, I think, have had a different perspective on the COVID situation, you know, than guys with young families at home. Just in a matter of being, one is a little more cautious than the other. I think that these young guys, Matthew Wolf included, who's a little
further down the list here, 100-1.
But they've been playing a ton of golf. I see no reason they haven't been practicing a ton, getting their work in and trying to seize this opportunity that they've been given. Look, when else are you going to tell these guys, Scheffler, Hovland, Wolf, hey, we're going to take the number one player in the world that you're aspiring to be, right? And we're going to shelve him for 7 straight weeks and he's not going to touch a club. You've got to seize that opportunity, right? So they've got to be going all out to try and make up ground there as much as they can on Rory, on DJ, on Brooks, on these guys at the top, in hope that they can inch closer in terms of furthering their career and their aspirations.
That's like what Coley was saying. You got to go with guys that are not the name, the household names, because they have just as much of a chance. That's how it is every freaking week anyway on the PGA Tour. It's even right. More so now. So that's the names, right. The 100-1 and above names. That's where we live, Joe. We talked about this too. Don't bet a lot of money on this stuff. Bet like a dollar on one of these guys and win 100 back. That's great. You don't need to bet a lot of money.
Buy them. Absolutely. For a dollar. Yeah. And another thing for you guys to look at is the top 10 and top 20 bets. So a lot of these guys in the 100-1 range plus, while it may be rare that they actually come through and win, they top 10 all the time, and you're getting double-digit figures on a top 10. Like you said, play for however much you want to play. Don't bet the cable bill. We're not experts. Certainly don't follow what we say, but have fun. This is the most fun sweat, though, is when you got one of these guys in triple digits and they're in one of the final two groups on Sunday. It makes for a nice afternoon.
Well, then who's going to be in the final group on Sunday in this range, Joe? Give us your names.
I got a bunch, man. It's kind of scary how many guys I like there, but they really like juiced up this range here. Look, Bubba Watson sticks out at 100-1. I don't know how much he's been playing golf at all, but you're going to take a multiple major champion, a guy that just randomly shows up and wins. We've seen him win in Texas before. When he is on, Bubba wins. In speaking about Tony Finau earlier, where he doesn't have that, you may think he doesn't have that ability to close a tournament. When Bubba's there, I have the utmost confidence that he's going to make the putts, hit the crucial shots down the stretch to win. Another guy in Coley touched on it, in Ian Poulter, terrific putter, great course history here, plays well in this region of the country. I know he's been practicing a ton. His indoor setup at his house in Orlando is incredible. He posted a video not too long ago, like sinking 15 straight putts. Good putter. This course is definitely not too long for him. I think that he kind of fits the bill in the narrative here, but there's a bunch of names, man. Anyone you got circled?
Actually, I got 4 in this. Well, besides Wolf at 100-1, coming in with a little bit of confidence, playing with Ricky in that match play, so Wolf maybe. But my 150-1 names, I got 4 150-1 guys. First up, Andy Putnam, 151, third last year, 20th in 2018. He knows the course, likes course. Andy Putnam is somebody that I'm a sucker for, and I think has the ability to be up in those names considered for team events, and he's still not there quite there. He gets a win, 151. Chris Kirk, winner in 2015, didn't play here last year because he was battling things and getting back into shape. And guess what? Who benefits from a 7-week layoff? Chris Kirk, dude. Try him out, 151. And then you got Sung Kang there and Wyndham Clark, both people that have contended recently.
Right.
150-1 for those people. Maybe top 10 bets on those, and you can get them for like 10, 15-1, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, Sung Kang won that event in Texas last year too at Trinity Forest, where he was able to hold off Brooks. A couple guys 150-1 that I see, Brian Harman. Another guy that kind of fits the mold in the narrative. Here's something that I actually got written down here. I did a little homework. Last five starts here, he's played this tournament five straight years. There's not many other guys who have done that. 31st last year, 14th, 7th, 25th, 10th. He's made the cut all 5 years, and he's in the top half of guys who've made the cut. Another guy who can get a hot putter. We'll see how he plays kind of coming out of the gates. CT Pan, I kind of like as well. I don't really have a reason why. It just kind of stuck out to me as a good course fit here. Did have a third place finish here last year. And when I'm scanning way, way down that list, if you're looking for roof money, like our boy Cecil, 400-1, Brian Gay.
I looked at him too, dude.
Did you circle that, man?
No, I didn't go that far down. That was it. I'm like, 151 is far enough for me at this point, and except for if you wanted to go 250-1 on Wu, like Coley tipped. Ultimately, I tried, but then I looked up a couple things. I was like, nah. But yeah, that's funny.
$20 will pay out $8,000. So that'll get you most of the way to a roof. I don't know about up north, but in Florida, that'll get you a good way.
Yeah, easily. Who are your preferred plays this week, Joe? Tour picks on Twitter.
So I'm going to kind of finalize that. I'm going to put that on a slight hold until next week. I'm probably going to bet my guy
Brooks. Summarize what you just said, though. You can summarize.
Okay. I'm probably going to bet my guy Brooks. I don't see.
Same. I like that 28-1
from there. I've taken him at lower numbers, 28-1. I do feel like this time off served him well. I know he's been practicing. Look, he hit a little bit of a stride there where he wasn't playing well and lost his game. This has given him a chance to reset while everyone else sort of retools and come back out of the gates hot. Him being 10 points lower on the board than Bryson was a little bit of shock to the eyes. I'm probably going to bet that. I do like Poulter at 100-1. I think I'm going to take Brian Harman at 150-1. Likely CT Pan there, and I'm going to throw a couple bucks on Brian Gay. I'm looking at probably two guys inside that 33-1 range that I will put the majority of my stake into this week. Like I said, one is likely Brooks. I'm going to try to nail down one more. I'm leaning toward Ricky and Patrick Reed. I just haven't made a decision on who yet. I'm going to bet two guys inside that number.
You take
a couple bombs at the top and hope it pays off.
Richard. Utaka. Yeah.
Fowler.
Anyway, if you want to waste some money on JT, I'm not going to kill you for it. 16-1, you get a couple bucks on that. And then Brooks, like you said, if you're going to go Finau, maybe you don't go 35-1. You find his top five number and you put some money on Tony Finau, top five, Benkrass. Spieth at 50-1, I got to do that because I think it'll be great. It'll be good content. He loves it here.
It'll be good content.
For sure. And then
put that bet for the purpose of the show.
Yeah, 50-1. Mark me down. I got a five spot on that. And then Andy Putnam, 150-1. That's the one out of the four I mentioned. That's the one I would go with out of the four. But yeah, do we the towel giveaway and get him out of here?
Yeah, let's do it, man. Want to do this? So how about you pull up your Twitter feed?
If you're not watching this on YouTube, this is going to end up on YouTube. We have a Preferred Lions podcast YouTube page. If you're listening to this on iTunes, that's why you could go and look to see the towel and behind Joe. And you could go and look to see me not in with my regular light on because it's freaking hot as hell in my garage today. But ultimately, if you want to be involved in these giveaways, follow us, Preferred Lions, and we'll tell you how to do that. What we're going to do, we're not going to make this very serious because we're not serious people at all. And if you feel like this is unfair, we don't give a fuck. So sorry. But we're gonna just, I got my Twitter, the Preferred Lines. Can you see this? Okay, these are the humans that have followed us. We got 90 of them or something like that. And if like Eric Martins wins, no way we're giving it to him.
If Eric Martins wins, he's shit out of luck.
But like, okay, so I think what I'll do is I'll just scroll by and I'll just mix it up like this. So I'm just going to scroll by. I'm not even really looking. I don't really care.
All right, stop.
Oh, my God, dude. This is where my finger ended up. In between these two people. One of them is losing golf bets. Don't we have to give it to losing golf bets?
Yeah, let's give it to
that's him. A friend of the pod.
This that's a friend of the pod. He's a fellow Koepka guy. Okay. I like losing golf bets.
Losing golf bets, power fade on Twitter. A friend of the pod, a friend of me personally too. I've invited him to go golfing. We haven't done it yet, but we're going to. So that's kind of ironic and fun that he won. Okay, should we do one more?
DM us. DM us your address. I'll send it out.
Okay, we got losing golf bets. You guys know him. Go follow him. All right, I'm going to do it again. Scroll, 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 scroll to the top.
Stop.
Oh, my gosh, dude. Another friend of the pod. I'm not even kidding. G-Hack Greg, baby. Green Thumb, Greg. Green Screen Greg, a friend of the pod, another guy, Anzo's guy. DFS Tavern represent. All right, so we got Anzo on the second towel. Perfect.
All right, cool.
Anzo's guy, Greg.
All right, you guys DM us your address. I'll send out those towels as soon as I get it. We'll give a couple more away next week. What do you say?
Yeah.
Why not, right?
Yeah. What should we have them do? What do they have to do?
We'll get back to them on that. Let's think.
Go to iTunes and like our podcast, and that's and then do that. But then, yeah, we'll think of something. I don't know.
Yeah, subscribe and leave us anything better than one star.
Totally. All right, thanks, everybody. That's it. Losing Golf Bets and Green Screen Greg, you guys won. Congratulations on the new on the towel, the sweet towel. Preferred Lines. You have watched it. It is now over. Come back to us next Monday. We'll always be here for you, breaking down the board. Let's do it, Joe I. Colonial, golf is back. Yes!
Let's go! Cheers. Podcast life.